Hello and welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We are joined by Corrigan Bartlett, a senior outfielder at Wichita State. It is Corrigan's first season at X Stadium. He played 2019 in the abbreviated 2020 season at St. Louis University. In 2019, he hit 310 with 12 doubles and 4 triples. He was a first-team All-Atlantic 10 selection for the Billikens. Before SLU, he played 2 seasons at Barton Community College, went to Mays High School. Corrigan, so you played football, you played baseball at Mays, you were an outside linebacker, a safety at Mays High. Being a multi-sport athlete, how do you think that's helped your athletic career?
It keeps you well-rounded as an athlete. Being able to move football as well. I really see it in the weight room because having to lift 4 football and get as big as I possibly can helped a lot in baseball as well.
Why did you choose baseball as your college sport?
Honestly, I was just better. I saw more of a future. Football takes a toll on your body and your head and just things like that. Baseball, I believe I had a brighter future, and so I took that route.
Were you always a baseball guy? Take us through Little League and maybe when you fell in love with the sport of baseball.
Yeah, I've always played baseball. I've been playing baseball since I was 3 years old. It was the first sport I played. When you could put a ball on a tee, I started playing. I remember when I was a little kid, I used to sit outside and play with the pitchback for hours, that and play wiffle ball with my little brother as well. So what got me to fall in love with baseball is just, you would think it'd be travel ball and stuff like that. It was the simple times in the backyard that was so fun that kind of translated into the game as well. And sometimes that's what gets me to keep going, is just to remember it's a game. To remember it's how fun it was and still is, and why I did it in the beginning.
It seems like an important part of being a baseball player. I hear that a lot around X Stadium, that you got to get back to those times when it was fun. So you're an outfielder, probably play a lot of corner outfield spots at Wichita State. Have you always played that position?
Since I was about 14 years old, when kids started to hit it to the outfield, yeah, that's when I was moved out there. I played a center field growing up, and then once I got to college, I kind of moved to the corners. They let the really, really fast guys get into center field, and I was moved to the corner, and I've enjoyed it.
Take us through coming back to play at Wichita State.
This has been probably the biggest dream that I've been able to accomplish in my baseball career. I mean, growing up, I came to games and X Stadium was sold out, and watching Mike Pelfrey pitch, I mean, I was a kid back then, and now he's my coach. So having this whole story kind of come full circle has been an amazing experience. Being able to play for Wedge, Sirianni, Pelfrey, and Coach Hibbs, I mean, these guys haven't just helped me on the field, but they've helped me a lot off the field, becoming a good man. And I take a lot of pride in that, and I love it.
What's the best advice or the best saying that maybe they've given you over the last few months that sticks out?
Sorry, can you repeat that? It kind of cut out.
What's the best saying or the best piece of advice you've gotten from the coaches over the last few months that sticks out in your mind?
There's probably 2 things. One, being able to compete, which is like, I know every coach seems to stress competition and stuff like that, but it's the way that they go about it. It's being able to find each day, not competing just with other people, but competing with yourself. How could you get better each day? And then being able to, you know, get the most out of each day. And I think that's probably the number one thing, actually.
You mentioned coming to games. You mentioned watching Mike Pelfrey. Did you have any other favorite Shockers that you like to watch, or moments, big games that you remember?
I remember, this is kind of crazy, the Gillespie twins. or the brothers, not twins, sorry. But watching them in a super regional, that and Tyler Weber, I remember him as a little kid.
2007 super regional. So you,
yes.
That's memorable moments. Definitely. Okay. At SLU in 2019, you got hit by a pitch 18 times. You led the team by a wide margin. I'm always fascinated by people who get hit by pitches that many. Why do pitchers hate you, or why did pitchers hate you so much in 2019?
Honestly, I think there was a scouting report saying I couldn't hit an inside fastball or something like that, which I honestly don't know where it came from, but that's what my coach told me. And I didn't even crowd the plate. They would just throw inside and miss, and I'd get hit and take first base. There was a couple games in there where I got hit 3 times in one game. And yeah, you bet. I was sore the next day.
I can imagine. You got got hit by a pitch a lot. You've been described, when I talked to the coaches, good clubhouse guy, hard-nosed, a Wichita State type of guy. What's a good clubhouse guy? How do you get that reputation?
You know, coming each day and put your nose down and working hard. Leading by example is a big thing. And my parents taught me, and kind of I try to get, you know, like I talked about earlier, just like getting the most out of each day. And I believe that if you show up, you do the right things, you treat people with respect, and you get the most each time you're in that clubhouse and locker room, and each time you're on the field and weight room, you're going to be able to set a good foundation to a lot of people's.
Oh, I lost you there for a second. All right. You love to talk hitting. Take us through your approach to hitting. Are you kind of a constant tinkerer? Do you like to, you know, change, alter, adjust, or do you try to be consistent and stick with something that works?
So baseball is obviously a game of, you know, you fail a lot, and trying to keep a cool mind through all that is tough at times. But, you know, one of the biggest things that I try to do is, if I'm feeling good, I try to ride that out. And if I'm not, then I get inside the cage and you try to tinker, and it's more of a mental thing. So when we get to this stage in our career, everyone's pretty good, you know? So if you're not doing very well, you try to get in there and you work with, it's not just by myself. It's guys like Garrett Kosis and Ross Cadena and Mike Sirianni working with Wedge and fixing the mental side. It's feeling confident when you get in the box, knowing that you're going to get that hit, knowing that you're going to get the opportunity to succeed each time that you get in the box. It's not necessarily a mechanical thing. It's more about knowing that you're better than the guy in front of you. And like, that's like the biggest edge that Wedge has created to build off of the getting the competition, but knowing that we're going to have the opportunity to be, we're going to be better than the guy in front of us. And like, that's a big thing in my life.
Okay. Let's say you're in a slump. Maybe you hit a couple rockets right at the center fielder. Maybe you popped up with a guy on third base. What are you thinking? How do you clear your mind to take the next at bat and get the most out of it?
I try to think about each AB that I'm going up to the box as I'm 0-0. And it's very easy to get caught up in the past, but this is a psychology thing too that I like to focus on, and it's like living in the now, living in the present right now, because even though that did happen, the only reality that you're living in is the now. And that's a big thing in baseball too. So if you get caught up in your past ABs, you might not be able to focus on what's right in front of you, and that's the at bat that you have right now. And that's a big thing that I try to focus on, is even though, I mean, you can go 0-2 and then end the day going 3-5. And that's the craziest thing about baseball, is if you get caught up in the past, the future probably isn't going to be great. So I try to focus on the now and live in the now.
Is there a big league hitter that maybe you're on YouTube a lot trying to borrow things from?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I try to look at the best of the best. I mean, Christian Yelich and Mike Trout, these guys are, they've got something figured out. They're up there for a reason, and watching some of the stuff that they do and how they go about the game, I definitely try to mimic. I mean, they're my role models, and I try to take after them.
There's so much video, so much technology that's available to people these days at you know, all over levels, but certainly at Wichita State. How much of that do you use? How do you keep that, you know, not from being overwhelming, but use it to its best effect?
So I try to take each day, and I journal quite a bit. So I take each day, figure out three great things that I've done throughout the day, and then three things I need to work on the next day. And because I do it so much, and kind of compartmentalizing like those kind of areas of like making it as simple as I possibly can. If I can find three things I need to work on that next day, I try to work on those three things as hard as I possibly can. And I try to worry about the rest later. It's so easy to get overwhelmed by everything that you need to work on, especially whenever you're struggling, but trying to focus on three main goals has made it a lot easier for me. And simplified a lot of the growing process.
We lost you a little bit there, and that's pretty interesting. The journaling, take us through that again and why that's been helpful for you.
Yeah, I gotcha. Journaling makes things concrete for me. It puts down my thoughts and gives me a stress-free time to just decompress and focus on the great things that I do have in my life. It creates a place of gratitude, and it creates a very positive mindset for me. Because like I said, baseball is a game of failure. If you sit there and focus on the 7 ABs that you don't get hits and forget about the 3 great ABs that you do get the hits, it's very easy to get in a very negative mindset. And the journaling allows me to focus on the good things, but also the few things that I do need to work on. Instead of worrying about the 10 million things that I can't do right, I focus on 3 main areas, work hard at those, and then I keep building on that each day.
So will being on this podcast go to number 1 on the list of 3 good things?
Oh, yeah, it will. It will. I enjoy this kind of stuff. I love talking and getting to...
Who do you talk hitting with on the team? Who's the little group that gets together, or maybe you have a text thread where you're really getting into the science and the mental side of hitting?
The cool thing about our team is, you know, we have a lot of good dudes on this Wichita State team that you can talk hitting with. I talk a lot of hitting with Andrew Stewart, new transfer, came in, played summer ball with him this summer and got pretty close. Paxton Wallace, Ross Cadena, Garrett Costas, Hunter Gibson, and Mike Sirianni. Eric Wedge. I mean, these coaches, they care so much. And like, that's what's incredible about it is like, it's not about them, which is the coolest thing that one of the coolest things I've enjoyed about being here is these coaches will give up their time to talk about anything. Hitting, life, and it's incredible how hitting kind of transcends into life, and they'll sit there and talk to you about all of that, and I think that's what I do. It's about 5 or 6 guys I really talk to a lot.
You mentioned Andrew Stewart, who I enjoyed immensely watching him when I got over there in the fall. Tell people a little bit about his defensive abilities. Every time I was over there, he seemed to make a play that really caught my attention at second base or shortstop.
Oh, yeah. He will make plays that are really hard, make look so simple. It's a spectacle to watch. It's like a show out there with him. And he's got a lot of brain power. I mean, just knowing – situations and knowing how to take control of the infield. And I think that's a really good aspect of his game.
You are a big reader. Give us some recommendations of books that have been helpful.
Oh, 12 Rules of Life by Jordan Peterson. There's a book by David Goggins. It's his only book. For some reason, I'm blanking on the title right now, but I've read through that one. Jocko Willink, The Dichotomy of Leadership. I read a book called The Morning Routine. I can't remember. He kind of got me to start getting up early in the morning and getting things going in the day so I can start my day productive. So I'm not waking up at 10 a.m. and just showing up to the field and going, you know. But Jocko Willink and stuff like that too, is these guys were naval. They were in the Navy and they did some of the hardest training, and took an abnormal route to becoming something special. And I think that's Wichita State right there. I mean, these normal guys coming together to have something abnormal here, like making the College World Series, going to Omaha, stuff like that. It's not something that's normal in a lot of college programs, but here it should be the norm. And that's what Eric Wedge has preached constantly, is to be different, you have to do something different. And I believe that Wichita State's going to do something special this year.
Okay, so take us back to the fall, to August or September, maybe the first team meeting, or, you know, when did this really hit you? You know, what the difference was and what you really liked about what the coaching staff had to say?
It was about what they said and what they did. And I believe that people are their actions. Like, actions speak a lot louder words for me. And whenever they started being – it's the accountability that's held throughout the coaching staff and through the players that really took me by not surprise, but like it sat really well with me. It's like they expect perfection. And if we're not doing that, we're going to keep doing it until we get it. And like, that's what something like I take a lot of, I trust them, you know, like that's something that I look up to. Wedge and Sirianni, Pelfrey, all of them, like these guys have your back and they're going to make sure that they're getting the most out of you in a really good way.
You mentioned some of your teammates out in the outfield should be an experienced group. Take us through some of those guys and give fans a little tidbit on who all is going to be in the outfield for the Shockers this spring.
Oh, there's a ton of them out there. Cooper Kornblum, David Voreen, Hunter Gibson. There's Cooper Elliott will get mixed in there every once in a while. Seth Stroh. These guys work so hard to get the most out of each day. This mindset that I have is it's transcended through the entire team, and that's what's the coolest thing. You're not surrounded by someone that complains every day. These guys are out there working their tails off to get the most out of each day. And that's shown in the outfield, and they do everything they can to get better.
Which Shocker pitcher has given you the most problems over the fall and the spring?
Oh, I hope he doesn't hear this. But Spencer Hines, this guy, he's a transfer that's came in and from Houston. And he's a lefty, sits around 89 to 92, 93, somewhere around there. And man, and he's been like four of them. So I'm like, God dang, dude, like he's got my number. But it's a good battle each time we get in the box, because he likes facing me and I like facing him.
You've hit a good amount of triples over your career. How much of that is smart base running and reading the ball and the outfielders, and how much of that is blazing speed?
I would like to think I'm faster than the average person out there, but it has to do with the approach, and that's you know, drive to right center gap and just let the feet do the rest.
Who's the best player in any game, any level that you've ever played against? Best opponent?
Man, there's a lot of them. Probably Austin Martin. We played Vanderbilt last year in that abbreviated 2020 season, and he was something special. I can't lie to you. He let us know why he was a top five draft pick. I mean, he was good.
You're a big golfer. What's the famous favorite course you've played?
Oh, I get on the golf simulator and I can do whatever. I usually like to just do a little par threes. I'm not great, but I do enjoy getting on that simulator and messing around with it. And I just like playing little par threes around here. Like, you can pull up whatever you want, Sierra Hills, something like that, something simple, because I'm not great.
There are always a lot of hunters and fishermen on the Shocker baseball team. It's very, very strong in that demographic. Do you have a feel for who's the best hunter, who's the best fisherman on this squad?
Oh, Paxton Wallace. He's the man.
Really?
Oh, yeah. If you check out his Instagram, this guy's cutting fish that are bigger than my head. So he does a lot of that. And it's fun to sit there and talk to him about it.
Okay, interesting. He's from Arkansas, so I know there's a lot of opportunities to get out in the outdoors in that state, definitely. You are at Wichita State getting your graduate degree in school psychology. Want to get into that field after you are done with Wichita State, done with baseball. Tell us about that career path. How did you get headed down that direction?
So I went, I started my college career going into engineering, and then I went into health science, and I realized there was something missing with both of those, and then I found psychology actually from a biology class, and I kind of fell in love with it, and I started taking that route at St. Louis, and then I started looking, and I really enjoy working with children and teenagers, because it's a big time of life, setting your personal like getting it going right and moving into college and stuff like that. And then I believe the academics are a big thing in life, because it's the one time in life that you're in a mandatory setting to you're forced into these situations, social situations, academic situations that you're not always wanting to be in. I mean, there's classes that you don't want to take. There's people that you don't want to be around, but you're still forced to make it work. And I enjoy that. Getting the most out of academics sets the foundation to personal belief systems and values such as discipline and resiliency and stuff like that, that I think they're very good lessons to learn from a young age, so that you can use that in college and the rest of your life. And that's kind of why I wanted to go into school psychology.
Are there teachers from Mays High or from other stops that have kind of influenced you down this direction?
Oh yeah. Kevin Fry. He was a really good English teacher at Mays High. He's the English head there now. And Stan Bergkamp, he's a physics teacher at Mays High that just really, they pushed me outside of my comfort zone within academics, that also showed me, man, if I push myself in other aspects of life, that I might be able to get something special out of this life that I'm in. And that was kind of the pushing factor into psychology, because I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it, but I was like, you know what, I'm gonna give it my all and see what I can do with it.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at goshockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.